Lord, we just thank you for this day. You're so awesome. Thank you for the miracle of life. Thank you that you broke all the rules. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Terrible it must have been to have been so close to him when they drove the nails into his hands at his feet. His stripes were thrown as the prophets foretold. His flesh was torn and his blood freely flowed. Wasn't it enough to hang upon the cross? Bitter water to drink, naked in humility. And after he cried those three little words, he died. Then he took a spear deep in his side. The blood and water flowed. The ground shook and the sky turned black. The veil in the temple was torn in two. Evil trembled by this act of sacrifice. Love's pure holiness, it pierced the night. And he cried, "It is finished." The deed is done. He's conquered hell. He's conquered death. There's victory. He has won. It is finished. Life has just begun. No longer death rules the earth. He has come. He has won. It is finished. The deed is done. He's conquered hell. He's conquered death. There's victory. He has won. It is finished. Life has just begun. No longer death rules the earth. He has come. He has won. It is finished.
Amen. Stand if you would, please. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we are here to celebrate. Celebrate what you have done for us, Lord. Celebrate the death and resurrection of our Savior. To celebrate his grace and his mercy and his newness every day. God, we praise you and we worship you. Be with us now, Lord, as we lift our voices and enter into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
He is risen, he's risen.
Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he's risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he's risen. Come on and celebrate. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
Woo! Amen.
He is the King. He is the Lord. The one who delivers me. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one who delivers me. Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers me. Hail to the King, hail to the Lord, hail to the one who delivers me. Jesus, strong and mighty King, ruling over all the kingdoms of this world. Lift your voice to Lord of everything. He is the King of Kings. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one who delivers me. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is the one who delivers.
Precious one that was slain.
did not ask for any more. It was all I could bring. But what I gave you transformed, and you made it something new. Now I can live by the power of the cross. I can live by the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you washed me clean, remove the stain. I will praise, revere your name. I am changed by the power of the cross. I am changed by the power of, I am changed by the power of, I am changed by the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is a power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna rise up the ground. Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Here is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant, he's always telling me to run. Love is resurrection, love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna lay my body down. No grave, I'm gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, oh, gonna rise up out. Gonna hold my body down. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh,
there ain't no grave. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, there ain't no grave.
There was a battle, a wall between death and life. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell. Then he took back every key. And he rose up as a lion. He set all the captives free. Gonna hold his body down. There ain't no grave. could hold his body down. And he heard that trumpet sound. He rose up out of the ground. That could hold his body down. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh,
there ain't no grave. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, there ain't no grave.
Ain't no grave. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. This is our promise. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. Sing it loud. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. You walked out of the grave, I'm walking too.
Death is your sting. Where, O death, is your victory? It is gone.
Amen.
Because he lives. Because he was raised from the dead, we can have eternal life as well. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings. Thank you, Father God, for life. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today is Easter, or as we prefer to call it, Resurrection Sunday. Indeed, are very glad that you are here. Today we are going to celebrate. That's what the day is all about, the celebration. What are we celebrating? We're actually celebrating death and the resurrection. But they go together. You don't have one without the other. So we're celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, our Savior in the flesh. Today, thank you. There's one that's awake. Today we are going to zoom in. And Pastor Brian and I did not talk before service. We did not plan the worship list versus my message. But we are going to zero in today on the cross. Amazing how God puts that together, isn't it? Amazing how he coordinates everything. And today, our focus is indeed the cross. Now, in a very simplistic view, what we see there is just a rough wooden structure. And that rough wooden structure can stand for a great deal of things. In fact, if you were to ask people, I am sure they would all have their own specific viewpoints or ideas or thoughts on what that cross stands for, including us sitting here. We would have our own thoughts or ideas as well. Now, most of the time it's going to depend on a person's religious viewpoint or their standings as far as religion is concerned as to how they see that old rough wooden cross. But this morning we're going to talk about three basic things that we can see pretty clearly in society when it comes to the meaning or the standing of that rough old wooden cross. The first one is kind of tragic, to be honest with you. But the first thing people tend to see the cross as is a fashion statement. A fashion statement, a piece of jewelry or an adornment of some sort. Listen, I'm going to read a portion of an article. This article was written a little over a year ago, but listen to what this says. Cross pendants are becoming increasingly popular as stylish ornaments, surpassing their original religious meaning. These famous accessories boost individual look and make a statement. Their ability to come in various designs, fabrics, and sizes to suit personal preference and outfits make them popular fashion statements. Celebrities and fashion influencers are pushing the trend of wearing cross pendants to highlight one's sense of elegance and style. Cross pendants celebrate the variety and the individualism expressed, despite others maintaining that they are of any spiritual importance. They might be a chic option if treated with care in today's fashion scene. Cross pendants are a stylish statement that exceeds its religious and cultural concepts, even back to its roots. They are chic items that easily fit into the modern fashion world because of their diverse range of styles and attractiveness, allowing people to express themselves in ways beyond conversation. Pendants with crosses that combine contemporary and traditional elements signify individual expression. They let people incorporate their stories into their clothing selections while reflecting the cross's rich historical background or cultural setting. That's just a portion of the article. There was a lot more that it had to say, but in my opinion, that's a pretty sad article. If that's how the cross is indeed perceived in society today, perceived by people today. Now, I want to pause just for a minute. I don't want you to misunderstand anything this morning. If you wear cross jewelry, there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. It's okay. I'm not condemning that. So don't get me wrong this morning. I'm making a point of how society tends to view that cross today. People wear it to represent all kinds of things. Some people wear it as a conversation starter. Some people wear it as a representation of their Christianity. But there are some, as that article said, that simply wear it as a fashion choice. And you can see by some of those pictures, they come in all kinds of styles and colors and even not even just jewelry. This happens to be all jewelry here, but they come in fabrics and patches and they just all come in all kinds of arrangements. And I'm not sure if we're all aware of this, but every one of those crosses that you see up there represent something different in society, in the world. Some of those crosses that you see pictured there represent Buddhism. Some of them represent Celtic mysticism. Some of them represent a continental diversity. Did you know that those crosses represent those different things? So you got to be careful when you see a cross. It's not just representing the death and resurrection of our Savior as we see it, as we would hope it would mean to people. It means a lot more to a lot of other people. And many of them wear it, not really even for the religious statement. Some of them wear the Buddhist cross and don't even know that that's what they're wearing. It's just a fashion statement to them. Let's move on. Another way that people see the cross this morning, and this one makes maybe a little bit more sense to us, but another way that people see the cross, they view it as only a symbol of torture and execution. That's another way that it is seen. Now, again, this perspective, there is an element here that is absolute and right on, and we certainly abide by it. But if they only see it as torture and execution, then they're missing a piece of it. They're missing a point to it. For many years in Rome, the cross stood for torture and execution. And honestly, it was a lot more than just Rome, but that's where most of us will make that connection to the Roman government and the way that they carried out their punishment for their criminals. Honestly, the cross was one, if not the most cruel forms of execution that has ever been around, especially during this particular time in Rome. But the cross, folks, the cross brought certain death. The one being crucified was going to die. There was no escape. There was no time limit to this. If you were sentenced to crucifixion, that was it. There was no appeal. There was no waiting around. The crucifixion was going to be the end. No one set a timer and said, if they can last for a certain amount of time, we'll take them down. When they were hung there, it was meant to be all that there was. The end was indeed in sight. Now, historically, there are tons and tons and tons of description regarding crucifixion and the toll that it takes on a human body. If you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, you get a glimpse of what it might have been like for Christ to go through the crucifixion. And I know there's a lot of people that cannot watch that movie because it is pretty graphic. It is pretty hard to watch. But I think one of the things that we fail to understand is how much Christ took on for us, what he did for us. This was not just a simple little, oh, they nailed him up, they took him down, it's over, he rose, it's good. There was a lot that went in to the crucifixion. There was a lot that Jesus did on our behalf. I'm going to read, again, another little article this morning, just a small section. I'm not going to get real deep on the crucifixion or what takes place, just a couple little things. This article was called How and Why the Romans Executed People. That's where I'm pulling this article from. Crucifixion was carried out in several different ways on different shapes of crosses, but generally the prisoners were stripped naked and even bound or nailed by their wrists to the crossbeam of the wooden cross. This meant that the whole body weight of the prisoner was supported by their arms, which would soon lead to excruciating pain and often lead to their shoulders and elbow joints dislocating. They would also be unable to breathe properly. It could take several days for a condemned man to die on the cross. And the whole point of the spectacle was that it was to be a severe warning by being so very public, prolonged, painful, and humiliating. Also, the corpse would have been left on the cross to be picked clean by carrion birds, thus ensuing that the unfortunate victim did not receive any kind of honorable burial. And yes, that was treading lightly on what crucifixion is like. It is much deeper than that, much more graphic than that. To my knowledge, there is no government, no place anywhere around the world today that allows crucifixion. And I think it's easy to understand why. The torture that is there, I think it's easy to see why that's been kind of done away with. When a person was crucified, that eventual death came through asphyxiation. In other words, they stopped breathing. They couldn't breathe anymore. Probably a lot different than many of us think about. We again think about the torture and the pain and all of that stuff that's associated with the cross. But death actually comes by their inability to breathe. Do we understand how painful that is? Do we understand the difficulty in that, if you've ever had pneumonia, if any of you ever dealt with respiratory issues, especially during COVID, you can begin to get a glimpse of what it's like to struggle with your breathing. But that's where the eventual death came from. The article that we read talked about the fact that it could take days for the crucified to die, which is why in some cases, and we read this in Scripture, it's why in some cases they would break the leg of the individual who was being crucified. Believe it or not, breaking their leg was being merciful, because it would speed up the whole crucifixion process. It would speed up the whole dying process. Hungry, thirsty, unable to breathe, perhaps a broken leg. Can you see why so many see the cross as torture and execution and punishment? Yeah, I think it's easy to see that. But again, if that's all we see it as, then we're only seeing part of it. The article talked about humiliation. The one being crucified was typically crucified naked. Now, we clean that part up a lot. We don't ever represent that part when we're talking about crucifixion. I don't know, I wasn't there, but it's possible our Lord was naked on that cross. It's possible that He was just as humbled as any other criminal would have been while they hung there dying. That was part of the point, to humiliate people. It would be clear that a person condemned to die on a cross had done something horribly, horribly wrong, or at least according to those that called for their crucifixion, they had done something horribly wrong. One more thing about this article, it also mentioned an honorable burial, or the absence of an honorable burial. The article talked about one thing, but doing some research and digging into this, one of the things that I also often discovered is that when someone was crucified, after they died, often their body was thrown into a ravine with all the other trash that would have been collected from the city, and often set on fire, or left there for nature, if you will, to take its course. So yeah, the cross does carry a lot of negative with it. Yeah, the cross does carry a lot of torment with it, but only from one viewpoint. It holds another element this morning, and that's what we're going to move on to next. Perhaps the most important part of the cross when we think about the cross, in its very basic meaning, it means a lot to us, doesn't it? And I don't mean us sitting in this room. I don't even mean us as born-again Christians. Because quite honestly, the cross means something amazing to the entire world. It means something amazing to all of mankind, all of humanity. Some people have accepted it, some people have not. But it means something absolutely incredible for everybody. The cross is not for one person. It's not for one group. It's not for one entity or clan. It is for everybody who has, did, or even will ever walk this planet. It is for all of us. And the single greatest thing that that cross represents for us today is life. Life. Hold up, Pastor Kurt. You just got done telling me all the horrible things that happened on the cross. All the terrible things that people suffered, that hung. How in the world can a cross represent life? The first thing we have to understand that this isn't just any life, but eternal life. Life in heaven with God our Father. Oddly enough, that is a life that cannot, could not, will not ever exist without the cross. In order to have, in order to obtain, in order to be a part of eternal life with God the Father, there's no separating it from the cross. The cross has to be a critical part of that life that we talk about. Scripture is incredibly clear. Pastor Brian talked about this already this morning. Scripture leaves no doubt that we are sinful creatures. A very long time ago, our brother and sister decided to munch on some fruit that they were told not to eat of. And because of that, you and I are born as sinners. Every person that's ever existed on this planet, except one, is a sinner, has been a sinner, will be a sinner. Romans 3:23 is very clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Doesn't say that if you came from this region or this area or if you did this thing or if you said or if you acted. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That all includes you and me. There's no getting around it. Don't try to look for a loophole. There isn't one. You are a part of the all. None of us is without sin. And because of that, none of us on our own can have that eternal life with God. God is perfect. God cannot be in the presence of sin. His perfection does not allow it. And because we are sinful beings, we cannot be with Him without the cross, without the cleansing of the cross that brings us life. In fact, Scripture goes on. It's very clear. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Your sin, my sin, it leads to one thing, and that is death. Not life, death. Certainly not eternal life. Our sin leads to death. And what is death? You know, we think of death as when we're in the casket or we've been cremated or whatever the case might be. That's what we think about when we think about death, right? But death is really eternal separation from God. That's death. Being eternally away from our Creator, the one who loves us, the one who made us, the one who formed us in our mother's womb. Now, fortunately, Romans 6:23 does not end where I stopped reading. Let me read the rest of Romans 6:23 for you. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise God for the second half of that verse. Yeah. Amen? The second part is clear. God has given us a gift. What is the gift that He has given us? That cross. That's the gift He's given us. Because through that cross, we have life. Eternal life. Jesus died on that cross in our place. This is a part that you and I always like to brush past. Again, we don't like to think about all of that horrible suffering and all of that stuff, but I want that to sink in for a minute this morning. Jesus died in your place, in my place. We should have hung there. We should have endured all of that torture. We should have dealt with those horrors and that humiliation and all of that stuff. You should have. I should have. There should be holes in my wrist. We are the ones who should have hung on that cross. And yet God gave us a gift. He gave us His one and only Son to hang on that cross in our place, in your place, in my place. So we didn't have to be there. So we didn't have to go through that or endure that. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us so much. God, our Creator, El Elyon, Elohim, El Shaddai. God loves us so much. He wants us to have eternal life with Him. So He chose to send His Son and allow His Son to be crucified instead of us. Is that not incredible, folks? Is that not something to be excited about? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have to want to go through that torture and humiliation and all of that. Praise God I didn't have to, because Christ did it for us. Go back to that article that we read about crucifixion for just a minute. Those were a lot of horrible things that we talked about, and like I said, they were just the very surface of what we could talk about. God took that away from us. God gave us the gift of Christ as a replacement. Someone else to be crucified on our behalf. That cross, that old rough wooden structure, that cross, it represents salvation, grace, mercy, new life, redemption, peace, joy, encouragement, and life. Eternal life. And I hope you don't miss the fact that it also speaks to God's divine intervention. Jesus was crucified under Roman law. That means everything that took place to any other crucified person should have taken place to Jesus. But it did not. See, God intervened. God the Father worked and moved and changed the hearts and minds and lives of a whole lot of people. Because anybody else that was crucified would have had a broken leg. Anybody else that was crucified would have been left there for nature to take its course. But God orchestrated different events, didn't He? Think about this for a minute. Not only was no bone whatsoever ever broken in the body of Christ, Jesus' body was given over for a proper burial, an absolute sacred proper burial. Burial linens, burial cloths, incense, myrrh, all those things that would have accompanied any other royal or special burial accompanied Jesus' burial. He was even put into a fresh, brand new, never used before tomb. That didn't happen to the normal crucified person. That only happened because God, our Father, intervened and orchestrated every last bit of that before Jesus was even condemned to die. Let's look at the rest of the story this morning. We've talked a lot about the cross. Let's talk about the other more exciting side of things this morning. Yes, Jesus died a horrible death for you and I. But folks, 3 days later, 3 days later, He rose from that tomb. He rose from the dead. He defeated death. He conquered sin. He created a paved way for you and I to have that eternal life. Not just us sitting in this room, but again, all of mankind. If you're willing to put your trust in what He did for you. If you're willing, dare I say, to put your trust in what that cross represents, then you too can have that gift of eternal life, knowing that that cross is actually a beautiful, beautiful thing representing your eternal life. My eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It is just that simple. It is just, you don't have to be, you don't have to go through some lifestyle change first. You don't have to get to some degree in your walk first. You don't have to do all these things first. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died on that cross and rose from that grave, and you will be saved. Hallelujah. To reassure us, He went one step further in Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, don't miss these things. These are incredible promises for you and I to live by. The greatest, the best, the most wonderful representation that that cross could possibly have is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it's through that we have the forgiveness of sins, and that forgiveness of sin brings us to eternal life with God our Father. Amen? Amen. We're going to close our service today remembering the death and resurrection of Christ. We're going to share in communion together this morning. Before we actually partake, I want to share just a couple quick things. I'm going to read from Scripture. I'm going to pray over the elements like I typically do. But we're going to do communion a little different today. If you are a born-again Christian, if you believe in the death and resurrection, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart, then you are invited to come, take the elements this morning, and spend a few moments lingering at the altar. If you want to do that as an individual or you want to do that as families, that's up to you. But I encourage you to come, get the elements, and partake at the altar while you linger here for a few minutes and remember what that cross is all about. What it means to you in your life, in your walk, in your journey. Remember that you have been given a gift. Now, there's another side to this, too. If you are not born again, if you have never expressed your hope, your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, then I have to say communion is not for you. Communion is meant to be for those that are saved, born again, have expressed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, then I encourage you not to participate in communion. Instead, I'm going to be standing right over there, and I encourage you to come talk to me about what it means to be born again. Perhaps to ask Christ into your life, to confess with your mouth that He is Lord. Then communion can be for you, but salvation comes first before communion. We don't always talk about that, but it's an important thing to remember. Communion is for those that are saved. The first piece of importance is to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Pastor Brian, would you come up? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If you were with us last week, we had the demonstration of a Seder meal in here last week, and you should have seen a lot of what I just read represented in that Seder meal. Christ is the center point of all Scripture, certainly the center point of today. Lord, thank you for the fact that you died and rose again to forgive us of our sins. Thank you that you took all of that on the cross so that we didn't have to. Thank you that you paved the way for us to be reunited with our Father with eternal life. Lord, would you bless these elements? Would you be with us today as we gather together and celebrate your death and resurrection? In Jesus' name, amen.
The place where Jesus prayed the night before he was tried. In the garden, oh how he wept, sweating blood as he cried. I wonder how he felt, choice he had to face. The night before Jesus died, did the birds cry, did the flowers weep when the disciples fell asleep? Jesus was all in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did the trees bow down? Did the rocks cry out? Did the wind begin to sigh? The night before Jesus died. Did it feel to be abandoned and alone? Love betrayed with a kiss, it's cutting to the bone. I wonder how he felt, his choice that he made the night before Jesus died. Did his Father cry? Did the heavens weep? Did the angels rush to their feet? At a distance to watch him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Evil laughed at his face, darkness had its chance. The night before Jesus died. The night before Jesus died. The night before Jesus died. Because of your blood shed on the tree, because of your love and mercy, because of your grace and sacrifice, because you paid the ultimate price to be reconciled with the Father, to span the gap of sin, you died for me. You crawled up that hill to lay down your life. You felt the nails and you felt the stripes. Defeated death in victory. You did it all for humanity. You crawled up that hill to lay down your life. You felt the nails and you felt the stripes. Defeated death in victory. You did it all for humanity. You did it just for me. For me.
The cross can represent a lot of different things to a lot of different people. As you gather with family and friends today, my prayer is that you set them straight, that you tell them what the cross is really all about. It's not a fashion statement. It's not even just about torture. But the cross is a path for us to get from here to eternal life with our Creator. Don't be afraid to tell that to people. Don't be afraid to share that with people. But in fact, let that be the priority of today. Lord, be with us as we go from this place. Help us to be the church out in the world that you have called us to be. It's not about us sitting here. It's not about us being in this place. It's about us going and sharing and teaching and preaching and setting the record straight. God, empower us, especially today, to do that with every person we come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday.